Welcome to Me Time, the podcast for women in midlife who've been taking care of everyone else and now say, it's my turn to take care of me. I'm Kim Aceto, health and self-care coach for women in midlife and your host. Thank you for spending your precious me time with me right now. Enjoy the show. Okay, so today I'm here with Teresa Isabel Diaz. Teresa is a registered pharmacist with over 25 years of professional experience in community pharmacy and drug information in Toronto. In 2013, she became a certified menopause practitioner through the North American Menopause Society and founded Menopause ED to help women navigate the change. Teresa raises awareness about menopause, provides education, and supports women in midlife, women over 40. She helps women understand what's going on in their bodies and minds during the menopause transition to decrease fear and anxiety about this natural but sometimes challenging phase of life. She educates women about healthy lifestyles and symptom management options so women can make informed decisions about their care to improve quality of life, relationships, and work. Teresa, welcome to the Me Time Midlife Podcast.
Hello, thanks for having me.
Yes, it's great to have you here. And we're going to get all into menopause. But first, let me ask you the question I ask every first-time guest, which is, what do you enjoy doing during your me time?
Oh, that would be outdoors. Outdoors would be my first choice. Anytime I live close to the biggest park in Toronto, and every time I have a chance, I go for a walk in the woods. And I'm also addicted to swimming, so I do that every week too, because I need it for my body and my spirit.
Yes, that's great. I love it. Swimming and going out and being in nature.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, great for the body and the mind, both of those. Mm-hmm. Yeah, wonderful. Okay, so I explained a little bit in your introduction what you do, but let's, why don't you just, you know, in your own words, kind of share what you do and why you do what you do. How about that?
So let me start with my why. When I was in my late 40s, which was a decade ago, my eldest son was in his late teens, and he asked me one day, he asked me if I was bipolar. And I wasn't, but the question sure sounded out of the blue. Mm-hmm. And the reason seems to be that my moods were extreme and the family was having a hard time coping with it. So he told me, since you are the healthcare provider of the house, why don't you go look into what's going on with you? And I'm kind of ashamed to say, but I've heard this from physicians as well, that even though we are supposed to know about these things, most of us were not taught about menopause. So it's a surprise to many.
Mm-hmm.
So I went searching. And of course, like most people, I went on the internet and Dr. Google and all that. And in those days, now there's a lot more information, good information. In those days, most information on the internet was marketing disguised as information.
Mm-hmm.
And I could tell that with my scientific background, but it's probably harder for women that cannot tell information sites from marketing sites.
Right.
I finally landed on the North American Menopause Society, which has an amazing website with information for practitioners and women. And I learned that I was in perimenopause. That's why my mood swings were getting so bad. I had all the symptoms related to perimenopause. And I also found out that the association provided a certification. So I studied for a whole year because I had brain fog and lack of concentration as well. So I gave myself a whole year to prepare for this exam. I had to go all the way to Texas to write it during the annual NAMS conference. Mm. I got my certification, and then I thought, I'm ready to help other women.
Mm-hmm.
So I tried to do that in a community pharmacy environment, but it was very difficult because there's not a whole lot of privacy, and women don't talk about perimenopause when there's three or four women or men behind them in line. So It wasn't a very easy thing to do. So I changed my system. I got a new business model and I created a menopause ed, and I do online consultations. So I can talk to every woman anywhere in the world. I'm not constricted by geographic location. I do one-on-one consultations and I do workshops, and most of my services are all online. Mm-hmm. And I also do corporate health and wellness, because I've known too many people, too many women that quit their jobs because hormonal change was impacting their work, or so they thought. Mm-hmm. And it was stressing them out, and they had no education, no awareness, no support from their managers and HR, and they just had to quit their job. So one of the things I do is do lunch and learns for women in a workplace, and also educate managers and HRs and open the conversation about menopause.
Mm, that's great. That's wonderful. Wow. So actually, you know, the experience you went through menopause actually got you to the point where you're helping other women, which is beautiful. Yeah, absolutely. So let's talk about, you know, menopause is just one of the words, but there's also perimenopause, like you talked about, and there's postmenopause. So why don't you give us some definitions? What is perimenopause, menopause, and postmenopause? Explain those a little bit.
Yeah, the terms and the definitions are still a bit confusing to many women. So menopause is nothing else but the end. I believe it's a Greek word that means the pause in the menses. So the end of menstruation. And that happens when the ovaries stop working, stop ovulating. But it's not a one-off thing. So as we are born and our ovaries start aging right away. And at some point, we get in puberty, we get our first periods, we start ovulating and all that. Then we go into the reproductive years, whether or not we have babies, get pregnant or not. Most women have regular periods. Every so often they bleed. And then at some point that changes. As the ovaries get older, the periods are usually the first sign that the ovaries are aging. And changes in the length between periods is one of the first signs. Women can also experience heavier bleeding or spotting or no bleeding at all. So this is a perimenopause. It's the years leading up to the end of periods. It's the years leading up to menopause. And it can start in a woman's late 30s or early 40s. And it can last anywhere between 2 and 6 years. So perimenopause is a time leading up to menopause when women start experiencing changes, usually menstrual changes. Mm-hmm. Then menopause is the end of periods. But because women have experienced so many missed periods along the way, how do we know it's the last one? We may have another one 4 months down the road, or 6 months down the road, or even 11 months down the road. Mm-hmm. So someone had to make a number. So menopause is confirmed when a woman hasn't had a period for 12 consecutive months. Mm-hmm. So you look back, it's a retrospective diagnosis, I guess. You look back and you haven't had a period for 12 months. Today you are in menopause, have a party, celebrate it. Tomorrow you in postmenopause. And the average age of menopause in North America is 51 years of age. So women are in postmenopause confirmed after they confirm menopause, and they will stay in postmenopause for the rest of their lives. And because we are living longer lives, some of us may live a third of our life in postmenopause. And we have to be aware of that, because there are certain diseases that are more
prevalent.
Postmenopause due to lack of estrogen. And examples are osteoporosis, cardiovascular disease, heart attacks and strokes, and even dementia. So we need to prevent those diseases so we can have a healthier and a happier postmenopause year.
Absolutely. Love that. Thank you for describing those different stages. So women are confused, I think, you know, they don't know what's normal, what's not normal when it comes to different symptoms that they have. So can you touch on, you know, some of those different symptoms that women experience in these stages, and what is, you know, what is normal, what is not normal?
I usually say in perimenopause, everything is normal.
Everything goes, yeah.
Everything goes, everything is possible. And right. Just to mention that 80% of women experience symptoms that affect the quality of life in perimenopause. And that means 20% of women do not experience anything that bothers them. They still ride through, and that's normal too.
Okay.
Out of the 80% that show symptoms or report symptoms, and I don't like to say the word symptoms because menopause is not a disease, it's a natural event. But as a healthcare provider, I haven't found a better word for me and for women to understand what I'm talking about. So I'll stick with the symptoms just because it's just easier. Mm-hmm. So 80% of those women that report symptoms, 20% of those have severe symptoms. So 60 have some symptoms, but 20% of those have severe symptoms that impact the quality of life, relationships, and work. Those are the women that I say quit their jobs because they do not have enough awareness, education, and support to get through the few years. And another thing that women should know is this does not last forever. Mm-hmm. This is a phase of life. It's a natural phase of life, but even though it is natural and expected, most women are not aware because nobody talks about this. It's a big taboo. So awareness of what you may experience sometimes is enough to reduce fears, to dispel myths, and to make women navigate the change in a much better way. Mm-hmm. So the most commonly reported symptom of menopause is hot flashes. And right. Night sweats are hot flashes that happen during sleep. So that's 80% of women report that. That means 20 may never have a hot flash. That's fine too. So other symptoms that I hear women complaining about is weight gain. And even those that do not put on weight have the body shape change because fat accumulation changes in menopause. And we tend to accumulate more fat around the middle, which is not only less elegant, but it's also more detrimental to our health because apple shape versus pear shape increases risk of diseases like heart attacks. Mm-hmm. And we must remind women that heart attacks and cardiovascular disease is the number one killer of women postmenopause. So we have to reduce our weight if we are overweight and lose the apple shape if we can, because that fat around the middle means that it's also coating the organs internally. Mm-hmm. So it's not a healthy thing.
That intra-abdominal fat, right?
Exactly. Yeah. So other symptoms that women tend to associate with hormonal changes in midlife, or do not tend to associate with hormonal changes, and are usually a very surprise to for them to know that this could be a perimenopause symptom, are aches and pains. Mm. Headaches, painful breasts, fatigue, dry, itchy skin, sexual desire changes. Some women feel more sexual desire. Others, the majority, reports less sexual desire. Sleep disturbances are also very common. Women have difficulty falling asleep or staying asleep. I hear a lot that, oh, I wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning and I cannot go back to sleep. Well, there's a lot to talk about that. Maybe that should be another program.
It's a whole other episode, yeah.
If you wake up in the middle of the night, don't look at your clock, don't turn your phone on, don't think about anything, just focus on your breath and don't stimulate your brain, and hopefully you'll go back to sleep.
Easier said than done, but yeah.
Much easier said than done. Yeah. Also, a cognitive symptom. So there's physical, cognitive, and emotional symptoms. Mm. So cognitive symptoms that I hear a lot about is difficulty concentrating, remembering words, this can be very scary for women because they don't think of perimenopause as causing this. They're thinking they're having dementia, Alzheimer's or whatever, which the majority of women in this age group do not get diagnosed with. And then there are emotional symptoms as well. Nervousness, anxiety, irritability, anger, a very emotional demeanor, tearfulness. Women start crying for no reason at all. They even say, I don't have any reason to cry. I don't even know why I start crying. Mm-hmm. That can be very disconcerting. I also find lack of self-worth is a problem. Self-doubt, lack of self-control. I remember being yelling at my kids and I couldn't stop. I knew I shouldn't do it. I didn't know why I was doing, and I could not stop myself. That was very, very scary and very stressful. Other women experience low self-esteem, panic attacks. Hot flashes sometimes come with palpitations, and that may feel like a panic attack to some women. A lot of women experience tension and worry. Some feel discouraged. A lot feel overwhelmed and isolated. And some just feel numb. It's like, okay, I'm living in a bubble and I have no idea what to do next. I'm just living. I'm not really enjoying my life. I'm just going through the motions.
Right.
And some of them also feel depressed or have a depressive feelings, sad feelings. And many of these emotional symptoms can be misdiagnosed as mental illness. And the problem I have with that is if we don't get aware and educated about menopause, and women that are experiencing symptoms of are diagnosed with mental illness, they'll be put on inappropriate therapies, like antidepressants, for example, which in many cases should not be the first treatment option for women in perimenopause. But I've seen that happen over and over again because the doctors are not up to date with the latest scientific information about menopause, and they see a woman presenting with these feelings, oh, you're depressed, or you have anxiety, pick an antidepressant, right, you'll feel better. And many don't. Some do, but many don't. And the other problem is they get mistreated. They suffer the adverse effects of medication they should not be on. And worse of all, they do not get the appropriate treatment they need at this phase of life. And then there are the effects of low estrogen in the bladder, the vagina, and the vulva. And North American Menopause Society came up with a very hard to say term to describe urinary symptoms, genital symptoms, and sexual symptoms. They call it the genitourinary syndrome of menopause, GSM for short. Urinary symptoms can include urgency, so urinating very often, leakage when we laugh or cough, or sometimes just worry. And some women experience recurrent urinary tract infections. Lack of estrogen in the genitals can change the anatomy of the vagina and vulva. So there's shrinkage of tissues, there's dryness, there could be burning, itching, and irritation. And then women that are sexually active can feel a lack of lubrication and discomfort or pain during intercourse. Some have difficulty getting aroused or achieving an orgasm. And all of this affects about 40% of women, but because no one talks about it, the doctors don't ask women about their vaginal health. Only about 4% receive treatment for GSM. And that's terrible because women are suffering through this, thinking that, oh, this is just menopause, it's aging, there's nothing I can do about it. But there are a lot of things you can do to minimize these symptoms. And again, this could be a whole other podcast just about GSM. But it's important for women to know this is normal, but you should not put up with it. Talk to your doctor about it, see what's going on, and there are many ways to deal with it and improve the symptoms.
Oh, that's great. Yeah. Oh my gosh. So through your talking, I mean, we have so many other topics we can cover. Great. Thank you for all of that. That's wonderful. to share that. And I know a lot of women listening can, you know, relate to some of these quote unquote symptoms, and just to hear you talk about them and to not feel alone, like they're the only one or there's something wrong with them, is great. Thank you. So now let's take the last bit of time that we have to, you know, talk about some actionable steps. So what can women do that are listening who are experiencing these quote unquote symptoms, these common symptoms, and what can they do? What are some things?
So I am very strong on the basics of a good health. Mm-hmm. And we all know that we're supposed to eat well and exercise a lot, but unfortunately many of us still don't. And there's a lot of people overweight and obese still. And I wish I could find a way to change this, but I keep on hitting the point. In order to have a healthy life, you need the same things that you need to improve your perimenopause. So all the basics to me are important for a healthy life. And also I know it helps to navigate the menopause change in an easier way. So that includes eating a nutritious and wholesome food, engaging in frequent physical activity, making time for yourself, watching your thoughts, laugh, stay connected, and stay informed. Mm. And in order to help women do this, I started a group, my WIM network. It's Women's Health and Midlife Network. And that's for women over 40 who are interested in learning more about their health and also to connect with other women going through similar experiences so they can feel that they are not alone. They should not isolate themselves. They should not go through this thinking that this is awful. I want women to come together and to get whatever experience they can share with other women, laugh with other women, laugh at themselves and laugh with other women, and try to get the positive out of this. This stage of life is just not, should not be, and it does not have to be. And it's not just a negative, hard phase to go through.
Right.
It's temporary, and it's a time for many women where you take stock of your life. Mm-hmm. And if you've been busy with the career and kids and whatnot, and some of those responsibilities are less now, mm-hmm. you may have a few more hours a week or a day to look after yourself. So please do. And surround yourself with other women, because I isolated myself a lot when I was going through my perimenopause. And when I finally reunited with other women and joined other groups, I felt so much better, so much more support and better connections. And I felt, oh, I'm just one of them. I'm not alone. Mm-hmm. So that to me is the actions that we can take. And I know this is very general, and if you want to, we have time, we can go through some tips. But eat a nutritious and wholesome food. Engage in frequent physical activity, make time for yourself, watch your thoughts, laugh, stay connected, and stay informed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I love those. Those are wonderful. I mean, those are the basics, and those are things that women, regardless of where they are in the stages of menopause or before menopause even, if they're mm-hmm. listening, these are things that we need to be doing for ourselves anyway, right? Regular physical activity, we need to be eating healthy foods, we need to have, you know, good, healthy relationships. We need to take time for ourselves, right? That's the whole philosophy behind this podcast, right? Is me time and mm-hmm. self-care, and get support and be informed. We always have to be educating ourselves so that we know, you know, what's normal, what's not normal. Are other women going through this? And then thank you for creating this forum and this community where women can come together and support each other. And again, I really like how you shared and emphasized that this is temporary, you know, but this is a great time of life to take stock and to kind of reflect on who you are and who you're becoming. So I think it's wonderful, Teresa.
Thank you. So women, if you want to sign up for the WIM Network, because everything I do there is also online. I do online webinars. I send in newsletters. I have a book club that I'm going to do in person and also online. It's going to be February 25th. And every month I have a webinar. I just had a guest speaker talking about healthy aging. And on March 5th in the evening, 8 p.m. Eastern time, I'll have a talk about vitamins and supplements for women over 40.
Mm.
And I also want to emphasize our brain, how we think about this.
Okay.
So the attitude with which we embark on this transition can have a tremendous impact on how we experience it. Mm. So we are what we think. So having a positive mind, being mindful, being present in the moment, and not creating all this anxiety about us. Oh my gosh, I just got to bed and I know I'm not going to be able to fall asleep. I'm not going to be falling asleep. I'm not going to sleep enough. Tomorrow I'm going to have to go to work and I'll be a wreck. Stay away from that type of negativity that does not, it's only in your head. Mm. You probably could do fall asleep much faster if you weren't thinking about all these negative things. This is just an example, but be positive, think positive, and be here and now. Worry about what you're going through now. Like, for example, sit in front of a meal and eat it without any screens. If you have to eat alone, that's fine too. Smell it, taste it. Chew it slowly, enjoy it. Think of the people that grew that food. How amazing it is that you can afford to eat such wonderful bounty. Be present, be positive, and be in the moment. Mm. I think catastrophic thoughts make things a lot worse. I know that anxiety brings on a whole lot more hot flashes. Mm. Most of the hot flashes I have now are related to hot weather outside or to stressful thoughts I have in my head.
Mm.
So a lot of us don't link those things, but I think watching your thoughts and being positive goes a long way to navigate the change.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's great. And wow, I mean, it's great to hear you talking about these just very holistic things, right? Awareness and presence and mindfulness. And then just, again, going back to those basics. I mean, those are, no matter what research comes out, new research that comes out, it always comes back to you want to take care of yourself physically, mentally, emotionally, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, those are always going to help your symptoms. So thank you for sharing that. Do you have any final, you had so many final thoughts I feel we could have ended on, but we do have a couple more minutes if you want to share anything else that we may have missed, or if you have a final
Well, I want to share my website is menopause.org.
Okay.
So menopauseed.org. Mm-hmm. And I just want women to talk to other women about what they're going through. Break, yes, the menopause taboo. Talk about it. It should not be a taboo. It's something normal. We all know about our first periods. We are taught that when we are young, but nobody talks about the end of the periods.
Right.
Talk to other women, bring the conversation to the table in your house, with your men in your life, with the women in your life, with your relationships, and also at work.
Mm-hmm.
Just,
wow, that's
break the menopause taboo, make other women informed that this is a thing, they're going to go through it, there's help, there's support. You should not feel isolated and you should not feel embarrassed.
Right.
And if you need help, I can help.
Right, right. So I'm going to put all of your information in the show notes so that the ladies listening can go and check out your website, your LinkedIn, your Facebook, and then your email. And you have a phone number here as well. Do you want me to include that?
Sure.
Okay.
I have on my website, there's a contact page. If someone wants to give me a 15-minute discovery call, just go on my calendar and book it.
Okay. Wonderful. Sounds
great. Thank you.
Yeah, Teresa. So, well, I definitely want to have you back to just, we could talk about GSM. We could talk about, some other topics that we went through, but I know we could do a whole episode just on GSM. Thank you so much for your help today and for sharing your knowledge. And again, for creating this community for women who are going through menopause at these different stages. And so thank you again, and we'll have you back again sometime, okay?
Thank you for talking about menopause. Thank you, it was a pleasure.
If you find the Me Time Midlife podcast valuable, there are many ways you can support it. The best way is to simply tell your midlife friends about it. It also helps the show's visibility if you rate and review it on iTunes, Stitcher, or simply directly in your Apple Podcasts app if you listen to the show that way. And if you want more me time in your life and continue the conversations we have on the show with other women on a similar journey, consider joining our Me Time Midlife community on Facebook. Simply search for Me Time Midlife Community in your Facebook search bar, or go to metimemidlifepodcast.com to learn more. Thank you again for listening. And until next time, remember, you've been taking care of everyone else. It's your turn to take care of you.